Let's pray. Father, just pray, come before your presence right now, Lord, to praise you and thank you, Lord, and open our heart to you, Lord. Just, Lord, speak to us, minister to each person is here that need to be touched, Lord, need ministry, Lord, because you are our provider, the one that takes care of all our needs, Lord. Just we come to you and quicken your word to us, Lord, it may bring healing, bring ministry, may bring, Lord, the ability to connect with you and to hear you, Lord. So that, Lord, we may be transformed and empowered by your power, by your truth, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. On Thursdays, I've been talking about Jesus coming and the impact that this had. And there are, you know, so many scriptures, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, talking about, prophesizing about that, explaining what was going on, all these things, okay? But really, what I'm dealing with at the moment in those teachings is the fact that Jesus came with certain purposes. And one of them is really to show us the Father. Actually, I was talking about that last Thursday. And, you know, there is an interesting thing to consider. In the Old Testament, okay, there are only 15 scriptures that refer to God as our Father. And they are specific scriptures that are not just talking about everybody, you know, are really the result of some special people that had actually a relationship with him even before. Because the other one didn't understand that truth. The difference we can see in the New Testament, you know, I did a search there, and we got 241 scriptures addressing God as our Father. So, I mean, there is evidence here that there was a complete shift in understanding and connecting with God. And Jesus came to give us that revelation. He was the one really that communicated that truth, possibly, you know, at that time, and impacted everybody else coming after because he understood, because he knew the Father, because he was with the Father from the beginning. And so he could really explain this before, you know, God was just the creator, you know. And even then, there was an understanding that as a creator, God loved his creation. And especially the creation that was, you know, had a connection or a living, you know, not just the physical thing, but just a life in them. And but in particular, he cared about the one that had the moral component in them. And that was only man. That is only man. And that's why he had a special care for humanity, for us. Even before there was an understanding for us and a connection with us as our Father. And actually the change that took place is because today, okay, believers should understand that God as actually is our Father, not only theologically, but he made us, if we are born again believers, if we know him personally, it's because he recreated, we are born again, we are born of God. And this is the change that took place that for us is a completely different relationship that we can have with him than they had before, because most of the people say, you know, talk to Moses, don't talk to us. I mean, I'm afraid. See, because of the fear that is associated with sin. Okay. They felt incapable of getting closer or connecting with God. They needed somebody as an intermediary. Well, we had one too. But the thing is, you know, some people that knew him better, you know, connected with him at a different level. And so they were actually understanding some of the things that we, all believers, should know and experience. Praise the Lord. See, after 400 years of prophetic silence, you know, Jesus came. And came with a lot of missions, if you want. And I'm not going to talk about all of them because, I'm going to go to a series in Thursday Bible studies. Okay, and each of those takes quite some time to really explain fully, but I'm going to focus mostly on the fact that, you know, he came to show us what the Father is like and some of the implication for that. Okay. Now, you know, the angels gave some detail now, you know, about what was taking place. You know, communicated from God what actually happened. Okay, in Luke chapter 2, verse 12 says, "In this there will be the sign to you that you will see a babe wrapped up in swaddling clothes laying in a manger." Hallelujah. And then announced, you know, that, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And this is really something that was new, was announcing the new way for God to relate to us. There wasn't the same before. Finally, he could implement his plan, the desire to do from the very beginning, but we weren't ready. You know, he was preparing this took thousands of years, and finally the time was right for Jesus to come. As a result of that, he was coming as the Messiah, the one that was announced from the very beginning. See, God always cares so much about us that even before, you know, we did anything, he had planned what he wanted to do with us. He had planned to provide a way for us to overcome our shortcomings and our weaknesses, in our ignorance, in our inability to connect with him. And even after the fall of Adam, which he knew anyway before it happened, okay, he wanted to implement his plan for salvation for us, that is going to restore to us what he had given at the beginning. Praise the Lord. See, he ministers to us. And even in the Old Testament, this is already explained. Okay, for example, okay, that is goodwill toward men, toward us. Okay, it was a sort of rejoicing for the angels, should be a sort of rejoicing for us because of the change that is introduced. But God's intention was already there. It's been always there. For example, if you go to Psalm 103, verse 6, says, "The Lord execute righteousness and justice to all who are oppressed." See, I mean, who are all that are oppressed? Before, there was not oppression. The oppression came as a result of sin, as a result of the fall. And he was executing justice and, you know, in righteousness. Hallelujah. Okay. In his decision, in his desire to minister to us. He was already doing that, and he found a way, even in the Old Testament, to help people through, you know, the sacrifices they were doing in advance for what was going to happen later on with Jesus. See, it's always been in his intention, his desire, but he had to satisfy the law. He couldn't do something that was not just. And so, since there was no one that could do it, he had to send Jesus to do, to die for us. Because nobody could die for us, because we are not qualified to do that. Because we end up paying for the things that we've done. See, that was explained from the very beginning. There is a justice operating in God's law world that he created that is going to be manifested, you know, in the way that, you know, the things that comes against the right things that go against righteousness are going to be producing problems. He said that too, you know, if you eat the fruit, you shall die. Okay. But that was the implication, but it wasn't just the fruit. I mean, if you can see in the law, even the law of Moses was explained quite in detail in Deuteronomy, all the different things that would happen when we do not follow completely God's direction. But he knew that. He knew that we don't know very much. And we need his help. And so he provided all that, all along, all before, and now even better. Now we are in a much better position than they were in the Old Testament. We know more, we understand more, and we have more access to God than we ever had before. Not only that, but he, you know, provided for us his Spirit to live in us, to guide us, and to direct us, and to empower us. We had to know, we had to understand, and we had to cooperate with him. Praise the Lord. See, even in the Old Testament, they were talking, the prophets were talking about salvation and the Messiah that would come to bring salvation to us. But they didn't fully understand. Not even the angel understood fully. This is why they were so rejoicing once they announced it, they got it, they finally think, oh, this is the time that changes everything. Praise the Lord. See, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 talks about that. You know, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied the grace that would come to you. The grace is nothing else than God's mercy, God's goodness that wants to come to us, that wants to set us free, that wants to help us in our weaknesses. Okay? And we had to, and they were just, you know, getting something, you know, searching in what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, or the Messiah, if you want, who was in them, was indicating that he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ, and the glory that would follow. The glory that would follow. We had to understand the glory that was followed is God's glory manifested in us as we receive his grace and is manifested in the change that took place in us that is not something we can do ourselves, but is something that God does because of his goodness, because of his mercy, because of his compassion for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To them it was revealed, not for themselves, but for us. We understand that. And they were ministering to things which have not been reported, have been now reported to you. So the things that we, the angel, and all Jesus and the disciples, and all what, you know, the followers of them have communicated to us. Okay. Jesus came really to make able to connect with the Father. Hallelujah. Something that we could not do in our own self. Hallelujah. Now that concept, the concept of having a Messiah doing that was already in the Old Testament. But this is when it actually happened. And now it's a reality in which we live. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. So was more than just the creator. He was the creator, evidently. Okay. And God loves his creation, but especially loved the living creature that he created, especially man, who was created his in image. His image is the fact that we have ability to discern moral things, to discern spiritual things that we lost when Adam fell. Are unable because of we are separated from God in the ability to see, but now we have if we are born again believers. He explained that very clearly, to Nicodemus, they came to walk with him. Okay. See. And this is really, for example, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 says, "For this reason, I bow down my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named." You see, all the, idea of family is really connected with the idea of God's way of keeping things together, of ministering to us, of enabling us, to connect with him as his children. Hallelujah. So, this is really the reason why Jesus came, so that we can connect with the Father and know the Father. Okay. Our relationship with God, the Father, is changed because a new covenant was established on the basis of what he did, or what he did for us, so that we can benefit from it. You see, in John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "As many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." You see, that is the right, the ability to appropriate that gift that he has given us, which is a gift. It's by grace that we receive it. It's his desire to minister to us that may found the way around justice by getting somebody to die in our place so that we can connect with him. Praise the Lord. See, that shows the love that he has for us. Okay. Praise the Lord. Somebody that is not connected, it is not, their heart is open to the truth, and they are not being born again, cannot understand this principle. And that was very clear in the interaction that Jesus had with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of the leaders of the Jews. He was, in the Sanhedrin, so he was somebody that knew the word possibly better than we do, because they were memorizing everything. Okay. But he had really a difficult time talking with Jesus. He knew in his heart, I believe, that Jesus was at the truth. But he couldn't understand it because he was not born again. And when he went to talk to him, he just went it secretly because he didn't want to get in trouble with his friends. But what happened is Jesus started talking with him and ended up confusing him even more. The fact is there that says, most assuredly he started talking with him and says, what, explain to me, what, I may learn. And just most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's talking to one of the leaders. The thing just went over his head, Later on, again, he says, should I say to you, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We couldn't see it. You cannot enter it. Okay? There is something that has to happen. God has to intervene. God has to do something different in you, has to be making you born again spiritually, not physically. And that's the difference. See, he's our father. He's not our physical father, because physically we can live independently of him to a degree. But spiritually, we cannot. Okay. Even to understanding, we see there it says, you know, verse 6, which is born of the flesh is flesh, which is born of the spirit is spirit. Our physical father, the only thing he can make, give us, is actually being born in the flesh, be born physically. But that doesn't connect us with God. The only way to connect us with God is for God himself to come and make a miracle. And the way he makes that miracle is for us believing in Jesus, what he did for us, understanding the principle and agreeing with him and accepting what Jesus was doing. Okay. Nicodemus, even after all this discussion and some went more discussion taking place, couldn't understand how can somebody be born again if it's, you know, come go again in this mother's womb? See, he just couldn't connect, because they do not understand about the spirit. There are two dimensions in the world. There is a spiritual dimension and a physical dimension, and the physical dimension comes from the spiritual dimension. That is the source of the other. That's what I was created from. That is what God, that was, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him what? In spirit and in truth. The physical part is secondary. You can go through all the religious ceremonies, all the things that, you know, and get absolutely nowhere spiritually. But if God starts making that miracle in you, and, you know, you become his child, then everything changes. See, one of the characteristics of a relationship father-son is that, you know, there are some similarity between the father and the son, and the child grows and is known that it has the protection and the help and the direction from the father, and there is a connection between, there should be, if the situation is a way is intended to be, there should be a connection between the two in which there is a trust for the father and going to him for help, especially when you are young until you are developed properly. But when, you know, the thing is, with God is exactly the same thing. There has to be, you know, in the spiritual, in our spiritual life, we need to be born from God. God is our Father. When we are born again, we can have a great experience, more or less, but that doesn't do it in itself. We have to grow in him. We had to connect with him. We had to go, and this is where our interaction with him is critical. It's not just the external thing. It's not just the mental thing that we. It's not the theological stuff only. You know, it's actually personal interaction with him that he wants. That's what was at the beginning. And that personal interaction is going to be established now in a better way than was at the beginning, evidently. Because Adam and Eve didn't have the Holy Spirit. They had to go to meet with God in the garden, you know, when God was around. And Jesus said, instead, you know, it's convenient, it's, you know, good that I go away, that I go up, because otherwise I cannot send you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is going to be there, what is he going to do? You know, he's going to guide you into all truth. It's the guidance that we need, and we get that guidance only as we interact with the Holy Spirit. Not just in our mind, not just in studying things, not just to make sure, you know, that we are doing the right thing, because it's too complicated. you know, the Jews were trying to do things that way. All the things that they tick off, all the mark of the, all the things that they had to do, didn't do much. It was helping them sometimes to get out of trouble, but very few people were actually walking with him. That's why he didn't understand that he was the Father. David, for example, there was had the heart after God. You know, he saw God as his Father, and others too. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? Okay. There are two dimensions. Okay. And Jesus came to open up the dimension. As he was, Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom. You cannot enter that dimension. There is no other legal way to get there, to connect with God. And the connection is through him, through what he has done, to acknowledge what he has done for us that was necessary. Hallelujah. See, you can see that, for example, when the Pharisees, they were very well, quotation mark, educated in religion. They, you know, went through the studies and so on, or theological study, you know, couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about, starting with Nicodemus and all the others. And Jesus didn't say that to Nicodemus, but said that to a bunch of them when they were asking him a question. Okay? They were accusing him of blasphemy because he said that he was Son of God. And he was saying, you are blaspheming. And he talked to them, accusing, okay, of the accuser. Okay, in John chapter 8, verse 41. Okay, said, you do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. I mean, they were accusing him to say that he was blaspheming because he was saying that he was the Son of God. And they were saying the same thing here. They didn't even understand. They were contradicting themselves. Okay? And Jesus, you know, to me seems, you know, can you see what you are saying yourself and commanding this? When he was actually demonstrating his sonship by the things he was doing. He had just finished healing somebody. Okay? So, and Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Nor I have come on myself, but he, the Father, sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Okay. See, when there is a one thing, you see, if you are not connected with God, you cannot connect with the truth. You cannot connect, you know, even understand, hear, even if somebody speak to you straight. There has to be an opening already. The Holy Spirit has to have been working on you. Unless the Father's call you and you respond to that, you are going to be rejecting the truth that you are going to communicate to you. And so this is really the things that he was pointing out. And in the following verse says, you are your father of your father, the devil. I mean, that was really a nice way to deal with them. Okay, that shows the sonship idea, you know, the idea of being the father, that somebody is your father, you know, in the spiritual sense, they were, you know, connecting with not God, but with the devil because they couldn't understand. You see, if they were connecting with God in any little way, they would have been able to hear, understand, and receive what he was saying. But when we are not connected with him, we are going to reject the truth. We are going to reject the word. We are going to reject what God is communicating to us. Okay. See, you know, you are of your father, the devil. Why? And the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of it. So you see, the children of the Father, the real spiritual standpoint of view, are connected with their Father. You have to be connected with somebody. If you're not connected with God, then you're not connected. You're going to be connected with the wrong source. And that's why he said that you were children, of the devil. Okay. But because I tell the truth, Jesus said, John 8:45, okay, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Okay. He who is of God, he has God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So you see, when we communicate, that's an important concept if you're trying to minister to somebody that is, about the Lord. If they are not connected, if they don't have any desire to be connected with God, they're going to reject the truth that you're going to say. You have to find a way in. They have to find a way, to be able to reach out to where they are, to help them to see what they cannot see, to be able to open up to you. Praise the Lord. See, this is really the characteristics according to which Jesus operated. See, they were thinking about their own ideas, following about their education that they had, and they rejected the truth. Okay. They were going according to what? According to what they already knew. There was physical, there was the things that they had learned, that they were not connected with God, was only superficially doing that. Okay. Jesus' principle instead is given in chapter 5 of John, verse 30, says, he said, I cannot do nothing on myself. And as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. You see, that's the key to be able to hear. That's the key that enables us to receive the truth. That you are not trying to, we don't have the attitude that I know it already. I know everything I need to know. Don't tell me what I have to believe. That's what God does with us all the time, even after we are born again. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth. That means we have only part of the truth, even if you are born again, because our mind has to catch up, our heart has to catch up with what God says. There are areas in which we don't know and we need revelation, and this is why the Holy Spirit gives us the direction. It's not according to our own ideas, but according, we know very little. If Jesus had to have that attitude, in myself, I can do nothing. What should our attitude be? In ourselves, we do everything. I mean, Jesus didn't need to be born again. I mean, he was in communion with the Father from the very beginning. There is no any separation. He came as a man, but the man was without sin. He didn't come from Adam. He came from the Father. The Father is the one who generated completely him. Was his Father from Jesus? I'm talking about Jesus, not Christ. Christ was with the Father all the time. But they are the two are work together. And so, even Jesus was in communion with the Father all the time. He didn't need to be born again. And he, because the only thing to say, myself, I can do nothing. I just had to see what the Father says. I had to see what he wants. And he's doing that because he knew the Word. He knows exactly what the Lord Word God wanted him to do. And he was in communion with him all the time. So that he could decide the things. You know, his judgment, what he really judged. Our judgment is what we decide when something is right or wrong. And he was determining that not according to man's ideas, not according to just the law, because, you know, when you consider just the law, you just don't have your mind to cover everything. You just deal with the things that you think about, that you know about, that people talk to you about, or that you read, or you studied, whatever. Okay? You can consider everything in the Word. But if you are open to the Holy Spirit, he's going to put his finger exactly in the way that you need to know. So what you have to do is to learn to ask. See, people don't want to ask things to God because they don't like to think they bother him. He's aware of every thought, of everything, of all the time, for everybody. He's not concerned about your request that is going to, you know, affect his degree of being busy. You know, he's not busy. He can do all things. We can get busy and overwhelmed because we can just think about 7 or 8 times at the same time, and that's even already difficult. God can think about all the things of all the times of everybody that has been around and will be. Praise the Lord. I mean, so why do we have to try to find the solution ourselves? Why don't we get smart and ask him for the direction that we need and trust in what he's telling us? And because, you know, only when we trust in what he's telling us, we are going to be able to hear it. You see, the problem with the Jews is that they didn't trust the Holy Spirit because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. But Jesus had the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, he was connected to the Father too. Praise the Lord. Are you listening what I'm saying? So this is really, you know, understanding what God has done for us by sending Jesus, allowing his grace to be able to make us born again, which is the biggest miracle that anybody can make. All the physical miracle that, you know, people say, oh my goodness, that is supernatural. It's nothing compared to, you know, the rebirth that happens in you. That's much bigger than all the other put together. Praise the Lord. And so he done that for us so that we can be starting to be connected. We start to be able to hear. We start to be able to have a real relationship, a personal relationship with God. And through that relationship, he can guide us. So that as we follow him, he can transform us and set us free. Completely free. Even if you accepted Jesus, you know, you are not completely free yet. Because the full manifestation is going to be when we are going to get, when he comes back the second time, when the job is finished, and we are going to be able to have a glorified body in which is not anymore submitted to the problem that we are. Okay? But, you know, the idea is that we, right now, can start to experience, we have a foretaste of what's going to be happening. And the Holy Spirit is helping us to actually get farther in this connection with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, there are witnesses or the manifestation of really our sonship with the Father. Okay. And Jesus mentioned that too. Okay. And really, you know, there are three things that were witness of Jesus and his relationship with the Father that applies to us as well. Okay. First of all, the fact that we are connected with him, not religiously, but by our love, by the love that he has for us. We are loving children of our spiritual Father. See, that shows that we have really been born at the level of connecting with him. We are not perfect, but we are loving him. We take the first commandment as really the basis for all the things that we do, because that's the number one thing. He is the first. He is the one that we connect with. Okay, so that is, we are loving children, our spiritual Father. Second, okay, that we obey the way Jesus obeyed the things that the Father want. And the more we obey the things that we know, evidently we had to know what we had to obey, because otherwise we cannot do it. Okay, our mind is, we don't have, the capacity of thinking everything about the way God does. So we need some help. And that's why the Holy Spirit, again, is there helping us, bringing us to our remembrance the things that we had to remember, the things that we had to watch or to be careful or to consider. Okay. Third thing is actually that, we start experiencing the inheritance that God has prepared for us. And that is... even now, we start living in the kingdom of God. It's not in the fullness, but we can start experiencing that again. By what? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being in us is doing the work for us to manifest the spiritual power that is in us. The glory of God that actually has given us is manifested. It's not ours, it's his glory. That we saw, the transformation that happens in us is the alignment of ourselves, more and more with the way Jesus was when he was on earth. So, I could give you lots of scripture on all these three elements, okay, but time flies. I could talk another hour, but that's not going to do that. Okay, the idea is this, okay, that when, realize the love that he has for us, really realize the things, when we are really born again, then we are going to, that's what happens to us. We realize that he loves us, and because he loves us, we love him. We understand the love that he has for us, okay? And we see, in Rome, this is for 1 John 4:19, but also in Romans 5:5, says here, the hope that we have for the things that are going to happen in the future, or the development and the change that is going to take place, okay, because the will not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who has given us. So you see, the Holy Spirit has opened up the ability for us, even for that. Everything that changes is not us. It's his work. You can be there, trying to do things in the flesh and trying to be, righteous in your own abilities, and you get absolutely nowhere. It's only what he does. He is our transforming power. He is the one that makes the changes in us. Hallelujah. Okay. And so, we receive from God of his grace by trusting him, which actually is faith. Faith is trusting God. Okay. And so, you know, what we receive from him as we connect with him, as we start loving him, as he's, you know, there is this love exchange or relationship between us and him, okay, one of the things that happens is that we receive the spirit of adoption. You see, what happens is we start saying, Abba Father, you know, the Abba Father idea is to call him Daddy. I mean, that's the type of relationship that is going to be between us and him, because, you know, we have been changed the way we think, the way we look at things, the way we look at him, the way we look at ourselves. Praise the Lord. You see, the spirit, before we had the spirit of bondage to fear. Because that's what the result, that's what happened to Adam as soon as he separated himself because of sin. Okay. Now, but when we receive the love of God and we start loving back to him, then we get the spirit of adoption. We know that we are his children because we even feel like his children. And that, again, what happens is his grace is not our, you know, this is his glory manifested in us, the transformation that everything is different. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, now we can approach God with love rather than going and, by the religious rules. Praise the Lord. And we start being obedient. You know, John 8, 31 and 32 said, if you dwell in my word, and my word dwell in you, you know, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, that's the obedience that comes out of the relationship. You stay in the word start working inside you and is going to reveal the truth because the Holy Spirit is interpreting the word and guiding you in the things that you have to work now, not the one that you have to do somebody else that tells you or whatever because they don't know. It has to be the personal relationship with God that determines the things you work on now, not just because others told you, oh, you had to clean up this area. No. He show you the area that you had to clean up. Otherwise, you end up doing it in your own strength. And you start learning. You start growing. You start, you know, doing the will of the Father. You become a disciple. You cannot grow in Lord, in God without being a disciple of Jesus, disciples of the Word. You cannot be obedient. You're going to be just religious. And probably on some things that God couldn't care less. Praise the Lord. Because some of them can be just religion of men. You know, we, because we have become children, we as children must have the inheritance of the Father, what he has provided for us. Okay. And here it's just in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, says that, you know, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. I mean, he has qualified us, okay, and we are going to be partakers, but all this is what? All this is connected to what? That is all connected with us connecting with Jesus. If we disconnect with ourselves from Jesus, we are going to lose that relationship. We are going to lose that ability to connect with him. We are going to lose the ability to hear because we get our own idea of what we are going to follow, what we are going to do. We are not following anymore the Holy Spirit. We are following men's ideas or even our ideas doesn't make any difference. We are meant to. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. See, the impact is, you know, number one, who we are changes. We are not anymore who we were before. Now we are children of God. Number two, we have a relationship with God that is the proof of our sonship. The presence of the Holy Spirit in us gives us assurance until the Holy Spirit inside us that we are connected with God. Until the Holy Spirit speaks to us and directs us, that's really the evidence. We know that we have, you know, God working in us. As we are still connecting with the Holy Spirit, they're going to manifest what? A transformation. We are going to keep changing all the time. We are not going to be static. We are going to grow in the Lord and becoming more and more like He did. That's the indication that He's actually working. And then, you know, finally there is four things. Okay, we start having the same principle, the same mind, the same heart that Jesus had for others. And we are sent to be a mission to people to reach out and to show and to spread the truth so that they can be also sons. And when those things are starting to manifest in themselves, and they're not just a question of being religious, but actually what the Holy Spirit is doing in us, then we're going to have all those four different things manifested in us, which is the witness that we can have about our relationship with Him. And it's not based on ourselves, it's the Father witnessing for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, we can rejoice, you know, with the angels when the annunciation there that, you know, God is having goodwill toward us, that He provided His grace to empower us and to transform us, and that is a complete gift, is free for us to receive. And we have to get our flesh out of the way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the time is over. And we can rejoice today. So let's pray together to acknowledge the things He has done for us and to allow our sonship to really manifest itself with our relationship with the Father. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your goodness, for Your grace, for Your power, for Your love. Thank You that You have changed us. You have transformed us day by day to become more and more like Jesus. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit that never leave us nor forsake us. But Lord, help us that we may resist the influences of the world and may instead choose to follow Your word that give us freedom, that give us power, that give us direction, that give us peace. Thank You for Your peace and for the victory that we have in Jesus. We just pray in Jesus' name. Thank You. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.